Jim Lynn was in the corner over there during the hymn and looked at my pages and said, "That's way too many. Give me some of them." Sorry for you, he didn't get any of them. This morning, like other such mornings, I find myself in the pulpit prepared to share with you some reflections of recent events in my life as well as the lives of my family. As many of you know, life in the various Igen households has been a tad chaotic as of late. We have experienced what some might call a bit more than our fair share of loss. Our door and window company started bleeding money right after this latest recession began. In August of last year, my wife Patty was forced to quit working due to worsening health issues. This most effectively cut our income in half. January of this year, my wife had really hoop-de-doo back surgery, requiring a 2-year recovery period. It was also this time that the bottom of the sales fell out at our store. In the middle of February, following an early Sunday morning conversation with Val Boss, I knew what I was going to say in my pastoral prayer. Never mind. Anyway, like I said, following the early Sunday morning conversation, I prayed asking God to lift the fog surrounding the paths before us so that our paths would become abundantly clear and be made straight. 2 weeks later, March 3, we closed the doors for good. This very most effectively cut our income the rest of the way. Be careful what you pray for. You might just get it. Okay, for the record, bankruptcy is not nearly as all it's cracked up to be. Angry customers, angry manufacturers, bill collectors, lawyers, of which I actually have 2, court appearances, to say nothing about anxious landlords who want their building cleared out of 69 years worth of stuff immediately. Loss, loss, and more loss. Loss of market share, loss of Patty's mobility, loss of her income, loss of her working beside me. Loss of more market share. Loss of the store. Loss of the office, the place to go, 40 years of identity. Employees, customers, friends, most of our livelihood. Loss of our planned future. Then came more loss. Dad decided it was time for a move. He headed for heaven, May 13. Loss, 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 and more loss. Loss of Dad, love, laughter, touch, wisdom, presence in our house, our family caregiving duties, Patty's caregiving duties. Good grief. Good grief, are you kidding me? What can possibly be good about grief? I don't want to grieve. I don't want to be sad. I don't want to cry. I don't want to have this pit in my stomach. I don't want to be uninterested in food. I don't want to be awake all night. I don't want to be afraid of the uncertainty of the future. I want Dad back. I want him sitting in his chair with the TV volume on as loud as it can go. I want to take Dad out to dinner every night if he wants to. I want my store back. I want it to be like it used to be, a 2-store, $5 million a year company. I want to sell it so my wife and I can retire into the plans and dreams we had. I want our bank accounts back. I want my wife's health back. I want to go to parties and play like we used to instead of having her in pain and exhausted most of the time. I want our life back the way it used to be. Good grief? I don't think so. Let's pray together. Lord God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. Amen. Okay, let's talk TV a moment. Patty and I watch a lot of it, especially since she has to be lying down so much. We also watch it to escape from all the crummy stuff going on in our lives, to get a few minutes when we don't notice the pits in our stomachs so much. As you can guess, we mostly watch reruns, so we know how the shows end. We don't want any more surprises. USA Network usually shows reruns of NCIS all day on Mondays, and Saturdays or Sundays, depending. We record all of it and then watch it throughout the week. I have watched probably most shows 3, 4, 5 times. Easily. NCIS, Naval Criminal Investigative Service. Show centers on a team of naval investigators led by salty Marine Gunnery Sergeant, Special Agent Leroy Jethro Gibbs, otherwise known as Boss. Gibbs is a smart, no-nonsense, in-your-face caring leader who trusts his gut feelings first. He doles out smiles reluctantly and is not beyond dishing out a head slap if he thinks it's needed. Special Agent Anthony Tony DiNozzo, Gibbs' number one agent, is the recipient of most head slaps. He's a good-looking, cocky, sophomoric ladies' man who is really good at his job. Special Agent Timothy Tim McGee, or McSmarty Pants as Tony sometimes calls him. He is the computer wizard with degrees from MIT and Johns Hopkins. Special Agent Kate Todd, the newest member of the team, is a very capable ex-Secret Service agent who used to protect the president. She and DiNozzo work well together and really care about each other. They just have an odd way of showing it, constantly bantering back and forth or doctoring photos on the computer to embarrass the other. Also part of the team, Dr. Donald Ducky Mallard, the meticulous medical examiner, and Abby Schuto, the brilliant, loving forensic scientist who happens to be a goth. You know, bunch of tattoos, black funky clothes, dog collars, heavy metal music. So let me set up the clip. Actually, you're going to see two clips. Gibbs, DiNozzo, and Kate find themselves in the middle of a firefight on a warehouse rooftop. Bullets are flying everywhere. They finally take out the bad guys. Kate is standing between Gibbs and DiNozzo. Gibbs is complimenting Kate for the way she took care of business. Since Gibbs' compliments are far and few between, she is thrilled, smiling, and relieved the fight is over. The next second, the terrorist that has been trying to hurt them as part of another plot kills Kate with one shot right between the eyes. I'm not going to show you that part of the clip. Okay, we pick up the action in the next episode as the surviving team members deal with this horrendous loss. As you watch, think about a time in your own life that you experienced some kind of loss. Could be the loss of a loved one, a pet, or even a special piece of jewelry. See if you can recognize some of the same kinds of feelings that you may have experienced. Shock, sadness, anger, to name a few. And if any of you have an aversion to seeing a pretend dead body, don't watch the beginning. I will tell you when to look up. Ian, let's play the clip.
Why me, Gibbs? Was it stopping one bullet enough for you? Why did I have to take two?
I don't know.
You don't know? Come on, Gibbs. What's the famous God tell you? Why did I die instead of you?
Thunder X-Men.
While you're setting up the other clip, Ducky, certainly sadness, profound sadness. How about Gibbs? His famous gut was at a loss. Perhaps some guilty feelings about not being able to take care of Caitlin. Certainly numb. Ian, you ready with the next one? Yeah, the reason there's so much space in between is that I decided that Tony's talk with Kate and Tim's talk with Kate were probably not so appropriate for Sunday morning, so. There we go.
Hey, Tommy.
You okay?
I will be as soon as I tie up my pigtails. There. What can I do for you? What?
You're wearing a Gibbs.
How so?
He's being nice.
Gibbs is always nice.
To you and Ducky, maybe me. Growls at and smacks him.
A bolt action, a semi-automatic or an automatic.
Anything else stand out? How about Abby's trip through all of them? Sadness, denial, anger, her jumbled brain, then into caring for each other, kindness and gentleness. Well, as much as I don't like to grieve, we teach in Stephen Ministry that grief is indeed a good and necessary part of our lives. It allows us to be whole and present with ourselves and each other. If we try and ignore loss, either denying it ever happened or pretending it didn't really matter, part of us is going to be stuck there in the past. It takes a lot of energy to keep those feelings at bay, and eventually they will find an outlet. A small loss suddenly becomes totally overwhelming. Someone irritates you a little, and suddenly you find yourself angrily screaming at them. Or perhaps I come to you because I'm grieving and you don't know how to help because you are too busy trying to keep your own grief from breaking through. Jerry Sitzer is one of my college professors at Whitworth College, now Whitworth University. He was driving a Washington State rural road with his family, and a drunk driver crossed the line, collided with his car, wiping out half of his family, wife, some of his kids, and his mother. For months afterwards, he had a reoccurring dream. A dark cloud was quickly coming toward him. He turns and runs up a hill, trying desperately to get away from it. Yet it always overcame him, covering him in the dread of his loss. Finally, he realized he was never going to outrun the darkness. When he turned and ran into the cloud, which is his grief, he was able to get through it, the light on the other side. Paul in Romans 8 talks about us as heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. We indeed share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. And he goes on to say that we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him. Paul does not say everything is going to be all right. Rather, it's in God's time, his eternal perspective. These verses offer hope, but no immediate relief. Kenneth C. Hawk, creator of and CEO of Stephen Ministry, writes, "Because the full glory of God's kingdom lies in the future, present reality remains tinged by pain and sorrow. And because it remains tinged by pain and sorrow, we are going to have to work through our grief." This last sentence was mine. Not sure how to do grief work? Let me suggest that grief work is best done as a shared experience. Abby and Tony shared their grief with each other. So did all the others. You just didn't get to see that part. Share your hurt with your spouse, a parent, a sibling, or a close friend. Still not sure who you can talk to? Call Sandy McIntosh in the church office or me on my cell. We have a host of Stephen ministers, each trained to come alongside and walk your journey with you. Your deacon is always ready to listen and pray with you. Don't know who that is? Call Jung Favalesa. She's our deacon moderator and she'll connect you. You can also ask anyone wearing a deacon or Stephen minister name tag to talk and pray with you after each service on the patio. Let's hear what our God has to say about grief. Psalm 46, 1 through 3, and then verse 10a. This is the scripture of comfort that was read at Dad's memorial a few short weeks ago. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. Be still and know that I am God. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. For the Israelites, Psalm 46 is a celebration of the security of Jerusalem as the city of God. It is a song of hope celebrating the certain triumph of God's kingdom. was probably sung by a choir accompanied by maidens playing tambourines as they led the way to the temple to worship. Art, that's parts for you. It is a triumphant confession of fearless trust in God. What kind of line is that? It is a triumphant confession of fearless trust in God, even though the continents break apart and sink beneath the sea. Wow. God is our strength and help to triumph over our greatest dangers. If God be for us, who can be against us to do us harm? Matthew Henry, in his commentary, and yes, I know it's old, however, I still think it's helpful. He writes, "It is our duty, it is our privilege to be thus fearless. It is evidence of a clear conscience, of an honest heart, and a lively faith in God and His providence and promise." Further, he writes, "While we keep close to God and have Him for us, we will not fear, for we have no cause to fear." Prophet Isaiah writes in chapter 28:16, "So this is what the Sovereign Lord says. See, I lay a stone in Zion, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone for a sure foundation. The one who trusts will never be dismayed." Wow. Pastor Bill asked us last week to consider as Christians, what are the stones that we stand upon? Folks, I'm here to tell you that this is the stone my family and I stand on in the midst of our grief. This precious cornerstone laid in Zion that cannot be moved. This is not a stone that keeps us from being afraid of what is happening. We would not be human if we were not fearful under these circumstances. At times we have been absolutely petrified. Yet none of us at any time throughout all of this have ever once thought that God has abandoned us. We have all said some kind of version of, "Really, God? Really?" Wonder, yes. Abandonment, no. In fact, just the opposite. We have seen the hand of God throughout our grieving. Since the store closed, my sister Rachel and I have had the time and flexibility to care for Dad during his last months. One of my lawyers is the lawyer for my biggest creditor. He's a man of faith and has been nothing short of remarkable for us. There are many more Holy Spirit moments I could share. It is because we stand upon the precious cornerstone of Jesus Christ that we know we're going to be okay. It just won't be the okay we thought we were going to be. God and us will make other plans. I'm not trying to give you pie in the sky. It's all going to be wonderful, wishful thinking. Yet while you contemplate what stones you stand upon for Bill, think about all the times God has been faithful in your life. Because you know that He has been faithful, you can trust Him to be faithful, steadfast, and true, now and always, even when you are watching as your world tumbles into the surging sea. A final thought. My wife reminded me of this. In high school, my youngest daughter, Christy, had some of her friends and another man, Adam, all die in a two-car accident right near our home. The details are not as important as her understanding of it all. As she was trying to make sense of it, she said, "It is good to know that you know that what you know," let me start that over again, "It is good to know that what you know and what you believe are real." 17-year-old, pretty cool, huh? Folks, God is real, faithful, steadfast, and true. And He will see all of us through our grief to the other side. Amen. Let's, I think we're supposed to sing a song, yeah? Let's stand and sing a song.